For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. In case you had any doubt, there is a serious and growing wealth gap in this country. According to a 2019 report by the Federal Reserve, the typical white family has five times the wealth as the typical Hispanic family and eight times the wealth as the typical black family. One thing this means is that kids from lower-income families, they're at a disadvantage from birth, and it's a disadvantage that's often extremely difficult to overcome. Today on the program, we have with us State Treasurer Sean Wooden, and he is here to talk about a bill he brought before the state legislature last week called CT Baby Bonds Proposal, a.k.a. House Bill 6659. Treasurer Wooden, as I understand it, this bill would give kids born under low-income Husky insurance $5,000 at birth. Do I have that correct?
It would be an initial contribution, and I'd like to be able to have the ability or flexibility in the future to make additional contributions.
And I believe they can't get it until they're age 18?
Correct. So an initial $5,000 that would be invested over a period of not less than 18 years. And at the time when the child is an adult, it can be used for limited purposes, for educational purposes, for home ownership, for investment in a business, or in a retirement savings vehicle. Those are four vehicles that are correlated with significant wealth disparities in our society. And so the bill is targeted to address those issues.
How did the proceedings go last week when you brought this before the Appropriations Committee?
Very, very positive. Lots of members of the public and advocacy groups actually testified in support of the bill. And I don't believe anyone testified in opposition to the bill. But this is an amazing opportunity for our state to be a leader in closing wealth disparities in society. Now, this bill is modeled off of a federal proposal that was introduced by Senator Cory Booker and Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, the American Opportunities Accounts Act, right? Very similar. And so the Washington Post has weighed in on it positively, New York Times editorial board, even saying that this, an analysis showing that this could potentially eradicate the wealth disparity for these kids born into poverty, right? So this is really about leveling the playing field. And for your listeners out there, it's important to note that Husky is a state health care program for poor families, and that Husky is available for everyone in our state based on income in your status, right? So it's not just for black or brown families. In fact, there are more white families participating in Husky than black or brown. But this is a bill targeted towards anti-generational poverty, racial equity, and economic growth, which I'd like to talk about as well.
Well, one thing. So you mentioned Senator Booker and Congresswoman Pressley's bill. Now, as I understand it, I believe theirs is $1,000 initial contribution, and they do have a yearly addition, you know, to that corpus of money. Would someone be able to qualify for both the Connecticut one? If you live in Connecticut, could you can qualify for yours as well as the federal program?
Someone would be able to, knock on wood, assuming that both could actually get approved. So their bill was originally introduced in 2017. It's being reintroduced this year. We'll see what happens with that. But yes, and the Connecticut bill is more modest in that greater upfront contribution, but not a requirement for annual contributions, which theirs builds into it. But all of this is designed towards leveling the playing field for people that come into this world and in circumstances that are they don't choose or they don't control.
Now, you said you wanted to pick up on another point from our previous discussion. I got that one question in there, so feel free to pick up on that previous point.
So the, you know, some might ask, like, how is this an economic growth bill, right? And as treasurer, I'm always thinking about finance, the economy. And, you know, and I want to point out that there's a 2019 McKinsey consulting study that says that we could increase our gross domestic product as a country by 4 to 6%. That's about $1 to $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years if we close the racial wealth gap. All right, so that's what it cost us. There's a Citigroup study that came out last year that essentially said the same thing and did a retrospective look at how much it has cost our economy, you know, the past decade or more. So closing these gaps, addressing these issues directly impacts Connecticut's economy. And that's why it's important to have programs like this that are systemic, that are long-term in nature, right? Which is a challenge, being quite candid, crafting public policy that is longer term, that is not about right here in front of you and immediate. But there is substantial support in, there's a report from Columbia University that analyzed the federal proposal and found that it would nearly eliminate the racial wealth gap for young adults altogether, and that baby bonds is the most direct way to narrow this gap. So there's powerful data supporting this, and you know, I'm very, very hopeful. You know, it's been a positive reception so far in talking to legislators about this. The first step now is for the Appropriations Committee for it to get voted out favorably. And so that's the first push, and then for it to be taken up by the House and Senate and signed into law by the governor. And so I certainly ask all your viewers, you know, to call your legislators to support House Bill 6659. This is incredibly powerful to changing the trajectory of many lives in our state and our state's economy in a long-term and fundamental way.
So here's what I hear you saying. Sounds like you're talking to the people who would hear about this and say, oh, that's a handout. We're America. We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Why should the government be giving away money? And what I hear you saying is that, well, people with money spend money. And when they spend money, everybody benefits. The higher tide lifts all of our economic boats, correct?
That is absolutely correct. Additionally, the program is tailored so a home ownership, the money can only be used for home ownership in Connecticut, for investing in a business in Connecticut. So you have these additional benefits, which is a reinvestment into the state of Connecticut. That's critically important and another boost to our economy and very targeted. The other point I will comment on, being a kid from the north end of Hartford, who I know what generational poverty looks like, right? I know the myth, and some people look at me as an example of someone pulling themselves up by their bootstraps, right? But I'm more of an anomaly, right? And that should not be the case. We should have policy that supports more kids making it. And right now, sure, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, that presumes you have bootstraps. And I've seen, you know, firsthand too many families, too many kids come into this world with no bootstraps. And this is actually a bootstrap to help kids born into poverty level the playing field and to pull themselves up with those bootstraps.
Is there any companion legislation or any sort of effort to make financial literacy a bigger part of public education in concert with this? Because, I mean, after all, if you give people money without wisdom of how to handle money, they could waste it. And I'm not even talking about on frivolous things. You know, I'm talking more about things that on their surface seem like good ideas, you know, seem like thoughtful, long-term thinking ideas, like, let's say, buying a condo, but buying it on an adjustable rate mortgage in an environment that would be a poor choice, or investing in, say, a low margin business with a low probability of success. You see what I'm going with this?
Yes, I see absolutely where you're going, and I just want to thank you for teeing me up to promote a financial literacy bill that I introduced last session and was shut down because of COVID. And there's a bill now that has the financial literacy components in it, as well as some other components that I'm promoting. And that would require, as a high school graduation requirement, financial literacy credit. And I think that's critically important to, and it's something that is universal, right? We can debate whether or not you need to learn trigonometry, some other things, right? It is not a debatable point that every kid graduating from a Connecticut high school needs financial literacy skills. And I'm hopeful that this bill will get adopted as well, that would apply to every high school graduate in our state. In addition to that, I've introduced a bill that it's a financial wellness fund. So it is a way to create a fund that will supplement financial literacy in high schools or in areas that don't teach it to support local efforts towards increasing financial literacy. So all of those components are important and part of a broader picture. But I agree with the premise of your question is that, you know, money without wisdom, you're wasting it. And so we certainly want the participants in this program, in addition to having that that cash, to have the financial know-how to make smart decisions with it.
And you know, I think I want to be very clear for both of us on that point. I mean, the genesis of that question, the thought process behind that question, has nothing to do with inherent intelligence or anything like that. It's that let's say you take a look at some of the households that that send kids regularly to Yale and Harvard. You know, there are conversations going in those households about what to do with money. It's like in the old movie The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman. You know, like, plastics are the future. They're having conversations about what the future is, you know, and in some households,
absolutely,
those don't come up. So,
it's powerful, right? So financial literacy, it is needed even more in traditionally marginalized, underrepresented communities. Same thing with literacy generally. Just a side note here, the Hartford Foundation for Public Giving years ago, when I was on the library board, you know, funded a study and that tracked the in-home learning and how many words a child learns and knows just from living in a household with parents who are very literate and who read books to them, the gap is huge. It's very similar, I would argue, with financial literacy and having those skills. And so I think it's critically important for every child in Connecticut to have those skills. And we need to be systematic about it. And that's why it's important to make it a high school graduation requirement and not just to leave it for a piecemeal approach.
Couldn't agree more. Getting back to the specifics of your bill, kind of a twofold question. Where would the money come from for the yearly contributions? And what do you say, and I know these people are out there, what do you say to those who would say that it's too expensive?
The money would come from the money everything else we pay for comes from, you know, either, you know, appropriations of funds by the General Assembly in this year. I would propose we are projecting a close to $200 million surplus, that a portion of that surplus be used to seed this program. But in addition to that, we as a state, we borrow every year for a variety of things, from transportation to schools to programs. And we are at a point where we have historically low interest rates. So bonding is another option. My office has done the financial modeling under multiple scenarios. And so we know how we can pay for this. The real question for the legislature is whether or not there is the political will to prioritize this program and kids in poverty, born into poverty, whether or not they can be a priority. And I would argue that if we can't do this now, then what are we really talking about? Going through a pandemic, going through a racial reckoning, an economic recession, seeing how those at the bottom have been disproportionately impacted, now is the time to reset and redirect our priorities as a state, and to do it in a way that uplifts all communities. And that is the beauty of this baby bonds proposal, is that we're not only helping kids born into poverty, we're helping communities in our state as well, right? So it's a smart investment that pays significant dividends. And that will be the question that we have to answer, not whether or not we can do it, but will we do it as a state?
So for those who say it's too expensive, you say to them, hey, don't look at it as a cash outlay. Look at it as an investment.
It's absolutely, one, it's not too expensive. Two, the dollars towards the program is absolutely an investment that will pay dividends for our state.
You mentioned that interest rates are at historic lows right now. Well, the 10-year rate was up past 1.7% this morning. For those of you who don't follow the markets and all of that, 1.7 in recent times, that's getting up there. I mean, that is the heights of the 10-year interest rate, 10-year Treasury rate, that causes people to rethink their investment priorities. So I guess where my question is going is that I've seen somewhere else where you have assumed that you are going to get a 6.9% rate of return over the years on the $5,000 that's invested. Of course, the market goes up and down. There are vicissitudes to the market. So how confident are you in that 6.9%? I mean, what vehicles are you going to invest in?
Sure. So the 6.9% is what we use today for our assumed rate of return for the pension funds, which are about $42 billion that we invest on behalf of pension fund beneficiaries, teachers, state and municipal employees. So that's the assumed rate of return, and that's why that is used for this program as well. And what we invest in is the broad spectrum from public equities to fixed income, private equity, real estate, a variety of investment vehicles to generate that return. The other important thing to note, similar to investing pension fund assets, right? A lot of people think in, you know, 1 year or quarter by quarter increments. I'm a long-term investor. I think in 10 and 20 year periods of time based on when people are retiring and what we need to generate. So to your point, market goes up and down, you know, from month to month, year to year, but over a 20-year period, the target would be a 6.9% return. Some years it'll be much lower than that. Some years it would be higher than that. But on average, that's the target, and that's how we are currently constructing our portfolio of investments to generate that type of return.
When do you expect to see a vote on this?
A vote could come as early as next week, but I don't have a definitive date. It depends on when the appropriations, they've had the public hearing now, so they can vote to, they will be voting to discharge these bills or not very soon, and then it would go to the full House and Senate. So, you know, again, if your listeners, anything about this resonates for them, I would encourage them to call your local legislator to support House Bill 6659, an act concerning the establishment of the Connecticut Baby Bonds Trust.
Connecticut State Treasurer Sean Wooden, once again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, John. Great to be with you again.